This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance Network, and today I'm bringing you another important guest, somebody who I have never spoke before today, but I'm very familiar with his work, and I'm sure most of our audience is familiar with his work, Dr. Joseph Mercola. How are you doing today?
I'm doing terrific, thank you.
Yeah, and it's a brand new year, so we're celebrating 2021, looking back on 2020, and our hope is to start off this year with focusing more than ever. I know this is my hope and what we're doing here at the Conscious Resistance, as well as the Greater Reset event that we're putting together, is to really focus on solutions this coming year and give people some tools that they can really think about and utilize in their lives to handle a lot of the situations we're facing. But before we get into all that, I'd like to give you an opportunity to share whatever you would like about your background for those who might not have stumbled into your work over the years, and what brought you to the point now where you're running one of the largest, if not the largest, health websites on the internet?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been the most visited natural health site. So I have a passion for technology and health. Along those passions, I entered medical school and got my family practice residency and completed that in 1985. So I've been practicing medicine for a long time, seen thousands of patients, but then I transitioned into leveraging my ability to educate people through the internet. So I was an early adopter, large because of my tech passion. My first computer programming class was in 68. I'm not a coder, but I just embraced technology, which is interesting, part of the Great Reset, you know, this technocracy issue. So, but it's like a gun. It could be used for good or it could be used for evil. And certainly the internet probably is the greatest invention in the history of mankind. Unfortunately, it's being just perverted. It would probably be the simplest, best term. So I started my site in 97 and, you know, been sharing the information I've learned over the years, and we've reached hundreds of millions of people. So I really appreciate the opportunity to make an impact.
Yeah, and you have been making a great impact over the years. Now, I want to talk about, just before we get into some of the focus of the Great Reset and the event we're putting together, you know, all the credentials and the kind of background you just shared and the work you've been doing, that has not stopped you from, and maybe even before many of us who are facing it now, from facing backlash from the mainstream, being labeled things.
Oh, no.
You know, whatever. Yeah,
we were censored almost a year before the pandemic started. So, and they thought it was just because, you know, we were a quack snake oil salesman, you know, and they use a whole variety of justifications for the censorship. But then people started quickly realizing anything that violated the mainstream narrative was censored.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've been dealing with this, you know, for a while now. And again, the labeling mm-hmm. that we're seeing kind of ramped up now, specifically in relation to COVID-19 and to the, you know, what we're told is a pandemic. The people who are questioning this, of course, anti-science, COVID denier, and then with the vaccines, anti-vaxxer, all these different labels that get thrown around. I guess just for a moment, could you reflect a little bit, how have you, I guess, weathered that storm or faced it? I mean, does it faze you at all? Does it, you know, affect your work? Do you feel like it, you know, makes you want to work harder in certain ways, or do you just ignore it?
Yeah, I mean, you could be delusional and ignore it, but the reality is it exists, so you have to contend with it. It doesn't distress me at all. I know that ultimately the truth comes to the surface, and eventually, enough people will wake up to what's happening to them and, you know, not swallowing the red pill. So,
yeah. Now, you recently interviewed one of my colleagues at The Last American Vagabond, Whitney Webb. And yeah, as you know,
I think they just took her Twitter account down like a day or two ago.
Whitney's is still up, but Ryan's, the main Last American Vagabond,
Ryan's.
Got taken
Ryan's
down. Okay. Yeah. But I'm sure it won't be long before Whitney and myself and others taken down. But you did a great job.
Ours isn't down yet. But you cannot post a link to our site or our Twitter account. It will get you banned or censored.
Yeah, they're finding all these subtle ways to try to limit the way people can share information. You know, I wanted to say that in the interview that you did with Whitney, you guys did a great job of kind of outlining the bigger situation, and Whitney has a great grasp on this. But I'd like to ask you, you know, in relation to COVID-19 and everything we're seeing, both, as you mentioned, the good side and the bad side of technology, more people questioning things, but also more attempts to kind of lock down our world. But this time, it has a very unique medical, you know, contingent.
It's a justification, the invisible enemy, right?
Exactly. Can you talk a little bit about that, about how the medical industry, when pharmaceutical industry, is really playing a major role and this push for a great reset as a result of COVID-19?
Well, I don't know that they're the brains behind the whole process, but they're certainly the health concerns is the justification for the implementation of many of these draconian, tyrannical interventions. And it's no surprise because they, as I said, I'm a big fan of technology and I understand what they've developed, deep learning and artificial intelligence and the use of social media. They've been essentially compiling enormous amounts of information about us. And they understand at the deepest levels what motivates and catalyzes the fear response, which is the most powerful call to action for most any human being. So they understood that it would be a health crisis challenge, fear of death. I mean, probably one of the, outside of fear of speaking, it would be one of the biggest fears people have is fear of death. So they're using that as a justification to implement these strategies, which ultimately, I believe, the justification or the motivation behind it is the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of humanity. It's just sad to see. It just devastates me. And it's sad to see it occurring because it is the plan is starting to take effect, but its full impact is, we've only seen a small portion of it, just the shutting down of some of these businesses, primarily restaurants. But you're going to see enormous devastation, just enormous tragedy. That's actually what just saddens me the most about this, all the human suffering that's going to result from this transfer of wealth. Because it's not the deaths. I mean, anyone who studied this knows, yes, people are, but most people died. They were going to die soon anyway. And not to minimize the impact of that, because the loss of any life is a challenge. But that isn't the reason why we should be concerned. We should be concerned because of the impact that these interventions are going to have on our society.
Yeah, absolutely. We're already seeing millions more people in the U.S. and across the world using things like food banks, for example, who never have had to before. 1 in 4 Americans, they say, out of work. And the predictions definitely don't look good coming into the year. And it is definitely being done by design as a way. And I think that is going to be far worse.
Concerning statistics I saw is 82% of the United States population cannot afford a $500 emergency bill. That is just shocking. Shock, 82%, 4 out of 5 people. I mean, it shows you the devastation to the economy that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about this idea of science, you know, the scientific method versus what some refer to as scientism, which seems to be more of, I would say, almost like a cult-like belief in whatever the official authorities or the experts, you know, this goes back into technocracy, the idea of rule by experts or technicians. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you have, you know, like seen the difference, I guess, between what you try to promote and then what we see that is promoted in more of the mainstream world?
Well, you know, it's a complex topic for sure, and I'm certainly not an expert at it. Patrick Wood has done a lot of work on this and has written books on it. And Anthony Sutton before him, who we collaborated with, who's now since deceased. But the history of technocracy goes back at least 100 years and probably even predates that too. But essentially, it's the concept that a group of individuals feel that science and engineering and technocrats or technicians know better than politicians in the democratic process. And they seek to take control of that and govern by this process rather than have the democratic or Republican process of having the people have a say in the control of their government. And they want to take that control away and just dictate based on their scientific concerns. And, you know, I've been a physician for many decades now, and, you know, I've studied science. I mean, I read read thousands and thousands of scientific papers and, you know, understand it at a deep level. And there's just so much potential for conflict of interest. And the industry sponsors so much of this research. And, you know, many times it's not even undisclosed. I mean, they try to make rules against that and the journals publishing that without disclosing that, but they still circumvent those rules. And so it's just shocking. I mean, you can publish a study in peer-reviewed journal. I've published many studies. And it's so easy to get that in there and then use that as a justification that it's peer-reviewed and that and it's established, accepted medical thought or scientific thought. And in many cases, if not most, it's just the furthest thing from the truth.
Yeah, it's really disturbing to see how that is. This tendency has come to the forefront during COVID-19 because there's a reliance on, well, Fauci or people like Bill Gates, who aren't even medical doctors, but these people who are being put before, you know, before us in the media as the experts that...
It's even worse than that because the collusion between the scientific journals and the technocratic elite, the global elite, is so strong that they've co-opted some of the best scientific journals in the world, like Nature Reviews. It is definitely one of the top few in the whole world. And they published a study in there which proved that the SARS-CoV-2 virus was transmitted by bats. And then the rest of the whole world used that as the justification for discounting any collusion between governments and gain-of-function science studies that were going on to evolve this virus to infect people.
Yeah, there's just been such, I mean, when you think about 2020, there's been so many stories and so many things that have come out that have revealed kind of the holes in the official COVID-19 narrative in a number of different ways. And it's almost like you were hinting at earlier with the power of fear that people either have rejected this, what would typically be seen as, hey, here's some positive news. This thing's not as dangerous as we are being told or whatever it may be. They reject those things in favor of the fear now. And almost many people.
Well, it's not that they may reject it, but it's the distortion. The mainstream, most individuals get their information from the mainstream media, and the mainstream media is either A, not posting or publishing or this information. It's suppressing it, censoring it, or discounting it. So I don't really blame the vast majority of the population because it's such a clever, sophisticated propaganda campaign that's directed at them. And you've got to be incredibly vigilant and diligent and seeking to find the objective truth. So the media, you know, can do one of two things. It can prevent the people from having this information completely, or they can discount it. And, you know, they've been very effective at that. And this is why I don't really blame the public for falling to this cleverly, very sophisticated campaign that's not whimsically generated or, you know, someone's thoughts about this. I mean, they've compiled enormous amounts of information to know that at a very, with a very high confidence level that it's going to be effective. They're using some of the most advanced science out there. So I cannot take that away from these technocrats. They really understand what they're doing, which is why you should be even more concerned because they've got some powerful tools. But ultimately, you know, we totally outnumber them. And there, I think that's some of the hope is that if enough people get educated, we can circumvent what they're seeking to implement. And if the people resist, that's fine. I mean, we can do it. And we still have the Second Amendment in the United States. We've got more guns than we have people. And it would be difficult to do for them to do it, implement these controls if, you know, the vast amount of the population woke up.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. There's still lots of hope. We definitely do outnumber them. I wanted to ask you one question that was submitted to me via a listener before we talk about the Greater Reset event. So one of the debates that's become, you know, topical this year in I guess you could say alternative research community outside the mainstream is this debate over germ theory versus terrain theory. And some arguing that from various points of viruses don't exist or COVID doesn't exist or viruses do exist, but this one hasn't been proven. Can you explore a little bit on what your thoughts are on that whole debate?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I get somewhat annoyed with that because I think it's a needless distraction. And let me expand on it a bit, because there is no doubt in my mind. In fact, I haven't published papers for a while, but I just had one published late last year on the improving and enhancing your immune system, primarily with vitamin D. But there's other strategies you can use. And it's your immune function that ultimately determines whether or not you're going to develop symptoms from exposure to a pathogen. So if you can improve your immune response, that's all that's required. Now, whether or, you know, so there's a lot of people who argue this is the virus has never been isolated, or, you know, it doesn't exist, or COVID doesn't exist. And that's just nonsense. And it's a needless distraction from the truth. The truth is that a virus was unleashed, whether it was done accidentally or by design is another issue. It's another part of, not part of this debate, but it was unleashed. I mean, there is some type of infectious pathogen. I mean, to dispute that is just crazy, I think. So, because there's so many other more important things going on that we need to pay attention to, you know, the whole technocratic strategy behind this and the Great Reset, which I think is ultimately the motivation that caused this whole thing. I mean, I'm sure you're going to have it in your there'll be people speaking about the event 201 and, you know, how happening, no coincidence, happened 6 weeks before the unleashed us, and it was about coronavirus. I mean, how could that be a coincidence? So we know that this is a planned event. And so I think it's just a needless distraction and just kind of divides us unnecessarily. Why argue about that? It's a moot issue. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
In my view.
Yeah, well, I mean, I tend to agree with you on that. I have interviewed other folks like Andrew Kaufman, who obviously really strongly believe in that. And I everybody can choose to believe what they want, but I tend to agree with you on that it does create an unnecessary divide. And just as one example, I put out a mini documentary exploring the flaws in the PCR deception, and half the comments were, "You're missing the point. The virus doesn't exist." You know, instead of
it just divides us unnecessarily. I mean, it's such an unnecessary tangent that doesn't provide any benefit to anyone. I just don't see the benefit. That's why I've never interviewed Kaufman, because I just think it's, and Tom Cowan too. I mean, I've interviewed Tom Cowan a lot, but he just started going off in this deep end with Kaufman.
Yeah, I really don't go down that road, but I just wanted to get your view on that. So let's talk a little bit about the greater reset, what we're calling an activation. And so the reason we gave it that name instead of a conference is clearly we want to activate, encourage people to be, you know, to take action. We're going to have 5 days of 3.5-4 hours of speakers. We're kind of following a format where the first speaker of the day is going to be speaking more on the, you know, the so-called problems, more of here's the Great Reset, World Economic Forum, globalist technocrat vision of how they want to take the health, you know, area, the education area. And then it will be followed up by speakers like yourself who can share hopefully some optimism, some ideas for solutions, and how in regards to the day you'll be speaking on, how we can take our health back in a way that isn't dependent on vaccines or
that's
pharmaceutical
easy.
Industry.
That's really easy, actually. But what's more of a challenge is really this addressing the changes that are going to occur in society as a result of this inevitable Great Reset. It's going to happen. It's inevitable. So one of the things that you can do, aside from improving your health and making sure you have a lot of backup with respect to food and electricity and things like that, is that you need your financial house in order. So you want to get out of debt, what they're going to do is very clear. I wrote an article on this. It was actually picked up by Bitcoin.com, that they're going to, as part of this, I think it's the IMF has announced, and there's probably another, that they're going to have CBDCs or central bank digital currencies or digital CBDC, central bank digital currencies is what it is. Not going to happen probably. They're already, China has it, and I think Bahamas do, the sand dollar. But they're eventually going to be adopted by the entire world. And this is, you'll say, well, how's that different than what they have now? They have a digital dollar. Of course they do, but it's different in a way that it's combined to a digital ledger and the blockchain, and it gives them enormous control over that money. So they basically, if they decide that you can only spend it at Target or Amazon, if you spend it anywhere else, it won't work, or it disappears in 4 weeks. I mean, just, or they can shut you down if they don't like what you said. So the control aspect is just enormous. So that is coming, and the understanding that it's coming and it's inevitable I think would motivate us to have some strategy around it. I don't know if anyone at your event is going to be talking about this, but I'm a huge believer in crypto assets. I think it's because, and how is it different from the central bank digital currencies? Well, these are the real ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum and Polkadot. They're decentralized. They're on a whole variety of different servers, and they cannot be controlled by one organization or any government. The Bitcoin network specifically is probably the hardest currency in the history of the world. And the Bitcoin network is actually, it's the most secure network ever in human history. I mean, it's you could have a trillion, that's a big number, a trillion laptops, and it would not even come close to the computing power in the Bitcoin network. So it can't be taken down by any government. So it's very secure. It's a far more secure and better investment than gold. And it basically, it's not something that's designed that you would buy your food with. It's an alternative for your savings. So if you've got savings locked up somewhere or in equities or something, it is so abundantly clear that it really needs to be shifted into these much harder, more secure assets that will give you some financial protection so that you can't be shut off, that you will have assets. And if for whatever reason you have to leave and go anywhere in the world, I mean, you could take everything every liquid asset that you own and put it on a little USB drive and go to any country in the world. They can never stop you, which is just unbelievable. You can't do that. Try to do that with cash or gold coins. It ain't going to happen. So it gives you enormous flexibility and security. So it literally would takes you many, many hours, dozens, hundreds, thousands of hours to understand it at a deeper level. But I've been seriously evaluating this year and really, I think it's part of the solution, the strategy that the Great Reset they're trying to do. And so do you have anyone who's going to be talking to that in more detail?
Yeah, we will have a whole day actually that's dedicated to the liberating side of technology, because as you said, it's just a tool. So we'll have some people talking about decentralized autonomous organizations and the positive uses of blockchain. And I've been getting paid in crypto for my journalism since 2013. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to hold it all then. I just had to, cash out a lot, but I definitely understand the value.
So people need to understand that. So Bitcoin is great, but it's not designed to be spent. It's designed to hold because it's going to appreciate. It's going to go up 20 to 30 times eventually over 5 to 10 years. So
it's why definitely would you been nice holding it lately?
I'm sorry?
I said it's definitely been nice.
Yeah, it's gone up three times since the pandemic started. Actually, more. If it actually went down to 4,000, it's like 30 now as we're talking. So it went up 7 times, but it really was about 8 or 9 before they crashed it for a day or two. So really 300% for most people.
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. And I also appreciate your sentiment, I guess the reality that the Great Reset is coming. And this is one of the reasons we want to do the event is that, look, there's billions, trillions of dollars being put into this around the world to put this plan in motion. It's not going to stop if there's a different president or if the same president stays. Like, nothing is going to stop this. The best I believe we can do, and what we're trying to encourage with this event, is how do we take our lives in our hands? How do we get as much out of their system so we're not locked in or locked out? And I appreciate what you're bringing to the table. And so I'm going to leave it there and just encourage everybody to.
Well, I just want to make one last comment. Yeah, go. It's interesting if you observe this, that no government could have ever done this. What they did, there's no government in the world. It's this whole thing they put together that it's what's behind the governments that was able to pull this off. I mean, think of it. Just this time last year, if you think that the whole world would be shut down by governments, it could have never happened, but this is the global elite that we're fighting against. So I'm so glad you're putting this event together to give us some resources and strategies to counter it, because we need it.
Absolutely. And we would definitely want to give people that opportunity to try to see that there are solutions. The solutions aren't going to come from their system, but there are solutions that exist. So everybody check out thegreaterreset.org. You can see all the speakers, including Dr. Mercola, and see the different themes for each day. And so tune in throughout that week, January 25th through the 29th, and you'll get to hear his full thoughts on this whole situation. I appreciate your time, and we will put all the links to your channel. And until next time, everybody, remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.